360 or visit cgcwater.com.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Talk 100.3 FM, traffic and weather.
On I-295 South, just after Blanding Boulevard, there's been a wreck with at least three cars. Butler Boulevard West at San Pablo, a car with engine trouble. And on the Dana Point Bridge going north, there's another broken down car. There's a good chance of rain with thunderstorms by afternoon, a high of 82, mostly cloudy this evening, and an overnight low of 71.
The Lillian McDermott Show.
We love, we fear, bridges we burn, we make mistakes, then we live and learn. When life gets tough, and it seems like your best ain't good enough. If you're in need of hope, you know where I'll be. I'll be right here. Right here, and when you need a friend, you can count on me. I'll be right here, waiting for you.
This is the place you can always turn to when you need a friend, the Lillian McDermott Show. To reach out to Lillian, visit her on the web at whenyouneedafriend.com. Now, let's all learn together. Here's Lillian McDermott.
Hello, my listening friend. It's so nice we can meet each other on the air on this beautiful best day ever. And for those of you who are new to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, let me tell you, you're in for a treat because many of us are going through life just feeling disconnected. And there might be a little bit of truth that we need to kind of permeate into our system. But let me tell you what this show is all about. I am committed to provide alternative ways to heal. And it is my mission to make awareness, responsibility, and truth a part of our everyday life. And I hope you, my listening and my viewing friends, will feel empowered to embrace a new truth and live the life of your dreams. Now, today we're giving away a book. Yes, we are. And you are, I've said this to you before, put it, program it into your phone, because the fifth caller or texter is going to win the book by Diana Butler Bass called Grateful, The Transformative Power of Giving Thanks. How do you give thanks? Do you go, thank you? Like my daughter Brittany does. Thank you. So, and we always know when it's a sincere thank you. Anyway, most of us know about the feeling of gratitude, but what does gratitude look like to you? Have you been told, say thank you, be grateful, blah, blah, blah? What has it been? Well, the author of 10 books, not just one book, is Diana Butler Bass. And she's the author of a book called Grounded, which I've never read, but I'd like to learn a little bit more. Maybe we can talk about that during the breaks. But she will share her journey about experiencing gratitude and the practice of radical gratitude. So are you ready? And since it's our sole purpose in life to give and receive love and knowledge, I am grateful that we have Diana Butler Bass here to do just that. Welcome, Diana, to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome.
I love the music. I think that's the most upbeat entry music I've ever been on a radio show with.
Well, you know, it was written for me.
That is
my theme song. No, that's why we can put the theme song on our podcast and our YouTube videos, because it is mine. And so, but you know, is anything ours anyway? It's just borrowed, I guess. So share a little bit about your background. Thank you for that compliment. And what led you to write this book today and now?
Well, that's in a sense, a a kind of a huge question, but I guess the simplest thing to say about who I am is that I'm a writer. I'm in my late 50s, and I've had a long career writing in the media, and I never intended to be a writer. It is something that was not my intended path. What I thought I wanted to do when I got to young adulthood was I wanted to be a college professor. Mm. So I went to university. I got a PhD from Duke University in religious studies. And my dream job was, you know, teaching at some lovely little college in a great town and having generations of students in my classrooms. And in my very first job, I took a job working at a small religiously based college, and I didn't fit. That's what they told me.
Aren't you grateful for that?
Well, I became grateful for it as I write in the book. But it was really hard because I thought that I had got my dream job when I was in my 30s. And what happened was I didn't get tenure. And so it was 4 very difficult years in which I was fighting for something that I thought was supposed to be my path. But it didn't work out. It wound up being hugely conflicted, and it actually made me physically sick, all kinds of things. And so, but it was during that time when I was fighting for that job that I was, this little college was in Santa Barbara, California. And I got to be friends with the local newspaper editor. And it was years ago, it was a great small newspaper. It was owned by the New York Times. And so one day we went out to lunch and he said, would you like to work for the paper? And I thought, what? You know? And he said, you know, I've seen some things you've written. He said, I think you'd be a really good newspaper columnist. And so this was in the early 1990s. And there it was, a different door just opened for me over lunch. And that's what I started to do. And so my path changed. I still taught. I taught part-time at UC Santa Barbara instead of the mm-hmm. small college. Mm-hmm. Then I also worked part-time for the newspaper. And so what that meant is that I was combining for a long time in my early career, teaching in a fairly traditional way, and also then writing in public, in doing opinion pieces in the newspaper, etc. And eventually a publisher said, you should write a book. And I thought, wait a second, my brother was supposed to be the writer.
Isn't it amazing how we have these limited beliefs about ourselves, and then it takes someone to say, hey, maybe you should consider. And that big old yes that you said is what changes everybody's life. And we're going to continue our conversation with Diana Butler-Bass when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. We'll be right here waiting for you.
I'll be right here. Right here waiting for you.
Teens whose parents drive distracted are twice as likely to also drive distracted. Our children look up to us. They pick up our habits, good and bad. What behaviors are you teaching your children while you drive? Eating, texting, putting on makeup? What distractions would you give up if it meant saving your child's life? Be the driver you want your teen to be. End distracted driving. Visit ndd.org to learn more. This is Lillian McDermott, and I'm glad FM 100.3 The Biz cares about you.
What if you could have whatever you desired with a simple thought? Wishful thinking? Science has proven that thoughts can change our reality. Join the movement and be part of an interactive virtual community that helps you take control of your life through the power of intentions. Learn to create the life you desire, one intention at a time. Sign up today for your free account and start creating.
Hi, I'm Tim Ray, founder of the United Intentions Foundation. If you'd like to learn more about creating, tracking, and manifesting your passions, please go to unitedintentions.org.
The Lillian McDermott Radio Show has brought great teachers who have taught us that our bodies can heal naturally and without toxicity. Not everyone has access to this information, and insurance does not pay for holistic therapies. After learning this truth, I started a foundation. McDermott Holistic Healing Foundation is in its infancy and can use your help. Go to McDermottHolisticHealingFoundation.org, register, donate, and heal. McDermottHolisticHealingFoundation.org is here for you. When you or a family member is in trouble with the law, it affects the entire family. At times like these, we need an advocate that will listen and guide us. Let me introduce you to Jacksonville criminal defense attorney, Kate Messick. Big or small, your case is her priority, and she will treat you like family. To learn more, call 904-619-2510. That's 904-619-2510 or MESICLaw.com. Office, Jacksonville.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
Welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where we always learn with one another. Today's teacher is Diana Butler Bass. Look at that. She started back to teaching. Even though she was didn't continue teaching in college, she's a teacher on the show today. And I'm really excited. The fifth caller or texter will get the book, Grateful: The Transformational Power of Giving Thanks. Great book, by the way, Diana. And I'm excited that we get to talk about gratitude. It's one of my favorite topics, as a matter of fact, on the show.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Most people think, okay, well, let me just give you an insight. I love every topic we talk about. But what makes my heart sing, what lifts me up, because it could be as a writer, as a radio show host, or whatever, we can get isolated focusing on the message and not necessarily realize, oh my gosh, there's a mess I'm creating while I'm creating the message. And so it's really important to sit back and watch or feel and experience. But you have a story of your own transformational experience of gratitude as you start the book. Would you like to share a little bit about your journey with gratitude?
Yeah, the fascinating thing about this being my 10th book is that the other 9 books that I have written, and I love all of them, as you said, they're like the books and articles are like babies. And mm-hmm. So each one of them has its own life and each one is beautiful in its own unique way. But all the other 9 things that I wrote came from a sense of my own expertise. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a person who had taught religious studies and trained in Christian theology and church history and all these things, I was writing out of that. Mm-hmm. This book, I did not write out of my expertise. I actually wrote this book out of a sense of my own need to learn and my own lack. And so the book opens with a funny anecdote about the day that I received literally a thank you note after I had sent a thank you note. And the thank you note.
Tag your it.
I know. It was like, oh my gosh, what do I do now? You know, do you send a thank you note again for thanking the person who just sent you a thank you note because you sent them a thank you note?
And that's a lot of gratitude.
It is. And I literally froze and I didn't know how to respond. And I kind of gave up and I said, you know, this is why it's so hard. This is why people get frustrated about gratitude, you know? And so I open with that anecdote, but then I quickly go into, you know, the fact that gratitude had been a struggle for me most of my whole life. And what's not in the book is a real personal piece that was the original prompt for me to write the book was my last book, a book called Grounded. That was wrapped up in 2014. It came out in 2015. And so I was thinking about a different project at the end of 2015. And I thought back about what had been going on in my life. And I had 2 friends who passed away while I had been working on Grounded. One was 72, a New Testament scholar who was a great mentor to me. And then a woman who was in the media, and she worked at Publishers Weekly, and she was 82. Mm-hmm. And I really missed both of them. And I thought about why I missed them. And even though they were very different and had come to my life in different ways, they were both really grateful people. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't feel like I am. And I really stopped and I thought about my own life. And I said, okay, you know, I'm going to be here for another 20, 25, 30 years.
Probably more.
I hope so. And yeah. When I pass away, what will people who I mentored say about me? Mm-hmm. And I thought that gratitude would not be something that would come to the top of their minds. And I literally looked in the mirror and went, I didn't like that idea.
Sure.
You know, that people would not remember me with that sense. So that was the initial personal thing that got me to this topic, was to realize that this was something that was really strongly present in two people who mattered to me a great deal. And here in my mid late 50s, I was not, I didn't know what gratitude was really all about. And that's what launched this project.
I love it. And you know what? I'm glad it did, because many people, and this is something that as a life coach, I think that everybody wants to do, right? But taking out their soul shovel and digging until they see their reflection or seeing the truth about them, that is where the magic happens. That's where true illness is eliminated. That's where the beginning of healing starts. And so in you writing this book, it was kind of like your transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly almost.
Yeah, it was really an interesting journey, because as I was writing and as I was intellectually learning, which is something I love to do, you know, obviously if you're talking to somebody who has a PhD in something, they love to read books, mm-hmm. and they love to study things and grapple with ideas. But this was really about that and changing my own capacity for gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so throughout, I kept thinking, oh, you know, everybody says gratitude is a journal, you know, you keep a journal. And what I learned, it really was a journey. And yeah. It took me to places I did not anticipate going.
Well, isn't it true? Okay, so for those of you who would like a copy of the book Gratitude by Diana Butler Bass, it's the transformative power of giving thanks. Be the fifth caller or texter, 407-373-5959. So here's, you know, as I'm going through this journey with you, I'm realizing that expectation is the kryptonite of gratitude.
Right. Is that we feel like we expect or we're entitled to certain kinds of things in our lives.
Yes.
And almost all of the stories I tell where gratitude eluded me or I learned something about gratitude were stories about unexpected consequences. Mm-hmm. So the thing that I said initially, you know, about my own path of being a writer, at first, when I lost my job as a college professor, I was so angry. Mm-hmm. Because I had worked hard for that. I was entitled to it. I had earned that position. I had earned that tenure. I deserved it.
Sure.
And when I didn't get it, the sense of rage, you know, that emerged out of that was really frightening almost. And I remember the conversation that I report in the book is the college president. He looked at me and he just said, you know, you don't fit here. One day you're going to look back on all this and you're going to thank me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no way. You know, I wanted to punch him in the face. You know, thank you. I mean, I was going to send him flowers or something. And so I went out with a friend, and I was reporting this conversation to my friend. And my friend said to me, and I expected my friend to say, yeah, what an outrage, you know? And my friend literally looked at me and said, you know, he's right. And I said, what?
And then you punched your friend in the face.
Well, I really liked my friend, so I wasn't going to hurt Mira, but I was just shocked. And so he said, probably one day you will. And then my friend told me, my friend's very public about these kinds of things. My friend is a recovered alcoholic. And he said, you know, one time I lost a job, and I actually now am very thankful that that happened to me, because that was my bottom. And it was the thing that forced me into recovery. And then my friend said, you know, I know that's not your issue here. You've got other things going on.
Yeah.
He said, but what changed my capacity to understand that moment was when I began to offer thanks. And then my friend challenged me to write down one thing a day that I was grateful for.
Oh, isn't that amazing? It's life-changing.
Yeah, it really was. And so I wrote about what happened when I kept that journal when I was in my early 30s, and how it really changed my world. And I don't still keep a gratitude journal now. I do other things that are my daily gratitude practice. But when I was in my early 30s and lost that job, that became something that really mattered.
Well, you know, I always tell the story of the guy, the farmer that's called We'll See. I don't know if you've heard the poem, and I'll maybe we can talk about it off the air. But when I was 10 years old, Diana, I listened to a homily from a priest, and I was going through my first communion at the time. Because I was a rebel even back then. I wasn't going to go through First Communion at 7. I had to wait. So I was listening. And, you know, usually as a child, you really don't listen. But these words were so impactful to me. It molded my appreciation to everything in life. And he said that there are people who are upset or angry or hurt or whatever. They're just upset that they don't have the right shoes, or they don't have a nice pair of shoes to wear. But then you look at your neighbor and you will discover that they don't have any feet. Mm. That, as a 10-year-old, impacted me to the point where I can still go to that moment and remember everything at that moment. I think that's all I remember from that homily. But that was planted really deep in me, to the point where I would say, whatever is happening to me right now, it could be worse. And I don't know if that's a Pollyanna way of looking at things. But for me, it supported me through my life when there was things that I just didn't know why were happening. But knowing that I can be grateful for that at that moment, because the start of the gratitude was, at least it wasn't worse.
Right. And it's not that you're celebrating somebody's misfortune.
No, not at all.
But it gives you the capacity to see what you really do have.
Correct.
Even when you might think you have lost everything.
Correct. And really, it's important. That's right. Because rock bottom, for some people, could be death.
Right.
But if you're hitting rock bottom and you're still alive, there's a purpose and a mission for that. And even though at the moment you don't feel grateful, but you can always revisit that moment and go, this was life changing for me.
Yeah. Like and what I learned was that although it seemed like I had lost everything by not getting tenure, I was still incredibly talented. I could write.
That's right.
I had all enormous number of gifts that were at my disposal, and they could be used in other ways. And so eventually, by focusing on the gifts of my life, that's what gratitude helps us look at.
That's right.
I could reimagine my own life and reorder it and discover new paths. And so things were not nearly as hopeless as I had thought they were.
And it usually starts with a thought, right? We can think a thought of deprivation or lack, or we can think a thought of abundance. Either way, it all begins with a thought. And we're going to continue our conversation with Diana Butler-Bass when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. Please remember 407-373-5959. Get you the copy of Grateful. Okay, so
I'll be right here waiting for you.
FM 100.3, W262 AG Jacksonville, AM 1600, WZNZ Atlantic Beach Jacksonville. Talk 100.3 FM.
Up some seats from Republicans in the House. Republican businessman John Cox took a strong second-place finish in the California gubernatorial primary. Cox is facing long odds against Democrat Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, who won yesterday's primaries. Total of 8 states held primaries yesterday. The White House acknowledging that Kelly Sadler is no longer employed within the executive office of the president. Sadler, the White House aide who faced a barrage of criticism for reportedly making light of Senator John McCain's battle with brain cancer. On Wall Street this morning, Dow futures up 129 points, NASDAQ futures ahead 9. More details at srnnews.com.
Shop Lowe's for savings that'll help you enjoy your outdoors a great deal more. Get sizzling deals on select grills, now up to 20% off. And get your flower and vegetable gardens growing with Miracle-Gro Garden Soil. 2 bags are now just $12. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through June 6th while supplies last. U.S. only.
Hey, it's Michael Medved here again for Relief Factor, and recently I read someplace that pain is either the number one or the number two reason people go to the doctor. I guess back pain is the top of that list, but neck, shoulder, hip, and knee pain are also close behind. And that's the kind of pain that Relief Factor was created to address, even general muscle aches and pains. That's why I suggest you order the 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com for only $19.95. ReliefFactor.com or call toll-free 800-500-8384.
Talk 100.3 FM, traffic and weather.
295 north on the Dane's Point Bridge. Look out for a broken down car causing backup. And if you're on I-10 heading into the 1095 merger, there's a wreck right on the 95 off-ramp blocking the right lane. There's a good chance of rain with thunderstorms by afternoon, a high of 82, mostly cloudy this evening, and an overnight low of 71.
I'm Clayton Bromberg of Underwoods. You know, we've sold fine quality diamonds for a long time and think that's important. If you drew a line with the poorest diamonds with the lowest prices to the left and the highest quality to the right, our diamonds are at the far right end. Once we know the weight, the grading factors of cut, color, and clarity have to be considered. And the one that's talked about the least, but's the most important to us, is the diamond's cut grade, because it has huge implications on both price and beauty, and thus value. I've bought diamonds for Underwoods for over 30 years, so I know what's out there, and the cut grade's not important to most diamond sellers. That's really been the Underwood difference, because beautifully cut diamonds result in the most important thing they can do. They bring a joy of owning and wearing a diamond, not just today, but tomorrow and into the future. That's important to us and should be to you too, because nothing brings more joy than wearing a beautiful diamond from Underwoods. In San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Ponte Vedra.
Attention all business owners. Are you happy with your website? Is your website easily found on the internet? How about your social media? Does your company have a professional and engaging social media presence? If your answer is no, then contact Smarty Digital today for help with your website, digital marketing, or social media campaign. Call or click today for a free digital marketing audit. It will be the smartest decision you will ever make. Call Smarty Digital at 904-674-3370. That's 904-674-3370. Or click SmartyDigital.com.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
Welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where you can hear us worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. I'm your host, Lillian McDermott, and it is my goal that we learn from each other. Make the person in front of you at this moment, even if it's the person in the mirror, your teacher. Learn as much as you can. And I always say, if you learn something new, you can go home and relax. And so that's always so enjoyable when you have a teacher like Diana Butler Bass, who her own personal journey of lack of gratitude, or not knowing if she even had possessed gratitude, that to be able to reveal it in this book, it's called Grateful,
And it's the transformative power of giving thanks. If you struggle with being grateful, this is the book for you. And if you enjoy gratitude, this is the book for you. 407-373-5959. Fifth caller or texter, 407-373-5959. Now, I was explaining to Diana today, this when we first met, that if you take one word about the show, it would be the word responsibility. Personal responsibility is what we talk about here on the show. Diana is a great example of that. So that you know, we record these shows and we put them on YouTube after the show is done. And she shared a story that's also in the book. And if you want to go to whenyouneedafriend.com, which is how you get a hold of me, whenyouneedafriend.com, click on that YouTube video. You want to hear her stories, especially if you're someone that have experienced a tragedy in your life, a tragic moment, an impactful moment in your life, and you just don't know how to get through it. So I want to encourage you to go to whenyouneedafriend.com, become a subscriber. While you're there, there's lots of little buttons that you can click on. YouTube is one of them. Subscribe on my whenyouneedafriend.com, subscribe on YouTube, like me on my social media. Let's stay connected, because responsibility, the way that we look at it, is a word that means blame, shame, fault, duty. Fine, I'll do it. I'll take responsibility. But the reality is that we are the creators of everything in our life. And if we take 100% ownership of our life, then it will lead us to empowerment and freedom. If we created it, we can uncreate it by the way we decide we're going to continue to live our lives. And there's a responsibility page at whenyouneedafriend.com. Become intimate with this page, because you will learn from that, taking personal responsibility, ownership for your life, how you can then live the life of your dreams. So I want to encourage you, while you're there at whenyouneedafriend.com, do it now, subscribe now. Ever since I've been asking for you to subscribe now, I'm so grateful that you've been listening. So if you haven't subscribed, why not? So let's do it. I am so grateful when you do. Okay, so another thing that I want to tell you is that while you're at whenyouneedafriend.com, please make sure you visit my sponsors. Without my sponsors, this show would not happen. So go visit them. Make sure you figure out ways that you can support them the way they're supporting the show. And last, you know, you can reach me on iTunes, Google Play Music, so all podcasts, YouTube, all the social media. And last but not least, you can call me at 407-373-5959. This is my personal cell phone. This is my radio show cell phone. And you can call, be the fifth caller or texter to type in or call and say, I want the book Grateful. Fifth caller, 407-373-5959. And you will win a copy of Grateful. And so, Diana, I'm so grateful that you are with us today. Thank you.
It's good to be here.
Yes. So let's talk about the myths. As you're writing this book, you're discovering about you, you're discovering about we, the people. So you're not just looking at yourself, you're looking at the whole. So what are some of the myths you've been able to bust through this book?
I didn't know a lot about gratitude. And there were things that I had heard along the way, you know, mm-hmm. that gratitude was good for us and that it helped us towards greater well-being, personal well-being. And that's true. But some of the time, the way that had been presented to me was almost like gratitude was a sort of a magic pill. You know, if you just do it enough, or if you just make sure you're thankful enough, is that everything will go right. And it was a little like in Christianity, we have this thing called the prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. And that is, if you just sort of believe and you trust God enough, that all this money and wellness is going to come your way. And so I was always a little, you know, sort of worried about gratitude because it sounded that way to me on occasion. So that was sort of certainly one of the myths that I had to get through to mm-hmm. understand how gratitude is good for us.
Yeah.
And that it's not a magic pill. It actually takes quite a bit of work.
And it has to be genuine.
Right. It has to be very authentic. It has to be linked with things that are kind of hard sometimes, like forgiveness and empathy and compassion. So gratitude opens up a whole group of very mature and complex human feelings and capacities that make us better people. And so that's why I think gratitude winds up being good, is that it is a pathway to a whole set of things that help us to live better in the world. Mm-hmm. So that was one myth I had, that it was easy. No. And it's certainly not. And the other myth is that it's only about me. And this was revolutionary for me personally, mm-hmm. is that nearly every book I read about gratitude followed the same path. And that was the idea that gratitude is a great feeling and that these feelings do good things for us. Mm-hmm. And you can move from gratitude just being a feeling to gratitude actually being a sustained way of life. And you can do that through, you know, keeping a journal, sure. making sure that some people are in gratitude groups, those kinds of practices that take gratitude from sporadic to a more permanent state, mm-hmm. of who we are. So that's the way most books run. And then I got to thinking about how anger and fear and injustice and all these different very negative feelings had blocked me from being able to experience gratitude. And I was thinking about our culture right now. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that pretty much every polling organization has discovered is that as a people, the United States is mired in negative feelings. Mm. And there was this huge study out in November 2015 that talked about how we registered higher on feelings of fear, anxiety, hopelessness, and mistrust than any other time that the pollsters could find, mm-hmm. In, you know, fairly recent American history, so recent decades.
Sure.
And because I don't think we can count the Civil War, you know, but in the last like 30 or so years. And so that got me to thinking, you know, if gratitude is good for us as individuals, would gratitude be good for us as communities?
Mm-hmm.
And would it be possible if we can move from feelings of occasional gratitude as communities, and I give the example in the book about the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series, mm-hmm. and that was an explosion of gratitude, of thankfulness. Oh my gosh, we won! I've seen the very thing that my grandparents only dreamed of seeing, you know, kind of moment. And that was all about gratefulness, and it poured out into the streets of Chicago, it poured onto the internet. You know, people were so happy. Could we as a people take those kinds of ad hoc moments of gratitude and move it towards a more sustained practice of communal gratitude as a body of either individual kinds of communities, churches, businesses, schools? And would that have an impact on who we are politically, mm-hmm. as a large community of Americans? And, that was something I did not anticipate. You know, I anticipated writing a book about gratitude in my own life. And I do that throughout the book. And I encourage people to explore all that territory as individuals. Mm-hmm. But then I began to suggest that the second half of the book is, well, what would this look like if we took it seriously together?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it winds up talking about a politics of gratitude. But I don't talk about that in a normal or expected way. You know, I don't say, hey, you need to be a Republican or a Democrat. And if you're not, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
But I just open the gateway for people to imagine, what would it look like if we really appreciated gifts of abundance? If we really could thank one another? What would that begin to do
for
us together?
Sure. Sure. And, you know, you talk about the gifts of gratitude when
we can find something to be grateful for. But in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of trauma, you know, mustering that gratitude is a special gift to be able to maybe later on go back to and say, okay, at this moment, I'm not feeling grateful and that's okay. But I need to process that through and feel that gratitude. And we're going to continue talking with Diana Butler Bass about her book, Grateful, when we return worldwide at whenyouneedafriend.com. We'll be right here waiting for you.
Teens whose parents drive distracted are twice as likely to also drive distracted. Our children look up to us. They pick up our habits, good and bad. What behaviors are you teaching your children while you drive? Eating, texting, putting on makeup? What distractions would you give up if it meant saving your child's life? Be the driver you want your teen to be. End distracted driving. Visit ndd.org to learn more. This is Lillian McDermott, and I'm glad FM 100.3, The Biz, cares about you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kelly Gallagher. I'm a 5-time cancer survivor powered by my 6th pacemaker and a new heart valve. How did I get well? I have the most amazing, incredible, integrative, alternative, complementary, adjunct, and functional medicine doctors that you could ever imagine. And they're all at getyourlifebacknow.live. 2 days. 16 doctors, news you can use. They have all the solutions of how you can take power and charge of your own personal health care.
And if you'd like to purchase this product, please go to getyourlifebacknow.live.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more information, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. Hello, my listening friend. The Lillian McDermott Radio Show is new to this area and is looking for a few good friends to become sponsors. Becoming a sponsor is an affordable way to grow your business. No matter the size, large or small, we have a budget that's right for you. To learn more about becoming a sponsor, call me at 407-373-5959. That's 407-373-5959. This is Lillian McDermott, and I'll be right here waiting for you. The Lillian McDermott Radio Show has brought great teachers who have taught us that our bodies can heal naturally and without toxicity. Not everyone has access to this information, and insurance does not pay for holistic therapies. After learning this truth, I started a foundation. McDermott Holistic Healing Foundation is in its infancy and can use your help. Go to McDermottHolisticHealingFoundation.org, register, donate, and heal. McDermottHolisticHealingFoundation.org is here for you. Have you been injured on the job and don't know what to do? Attorney Terry Bird in Jacksonville, Florida, will explain your benefits under the workers' compensation laws. He has helped clients for over 28 years, and there are no costs or fees unless a recovery is made. Call Terry to learn more, 904-731-0990. That's 904-731-0990 or at lawbyrd.com.
You can text Lillian McDermott or leave her a voicemail at 407-373-5959. Once again, here's Lillian.
Welcome back to the Lillian McDermott Radio Show, where we always learn and grow together. Today's teacher is Diana Butler Bass. The book is called Grateful. Fifth caller or texter, 407-373-5959. We'll get you a free copy. And I am not looking. I don't even know if we've gotten beyond. I'm sure we are gotten beyond because I keep hearing the buzzing. So I know that. But so just keep texting, keep letting us know, you know, and I want to ask you, my listening friend and my viewers as well, you know, what is your relationship with gratitude? Is there an entitlement feeling that, you know, if you're angry or that you didn't get something, you know, can you sit with the fact that maybe there's something else better for you? The example that Diana gives us about not making tenure in her university, it was her dream. You know, that was a horrible thing that led her to a defining moment in her life where she discovered her passion. What is being kept from you right now? Or what are you being kept from? Or what are you keeping yourself from that could potentially, with gratitude, lead you to the path that you should eventually take? I mean, do you find that, Diana, to that in your life, whenever you're in resistance and you're feeling that entitlement or that emotional, I have lack, you know, it should have been mine type of thing, that when you just shift to there's something better out there for me, how does that move you?
Yeah, you know, it's really important to, I think, it was important in my journey. And I think it's important for many people when you're in that moment and you say, well, that everything should have been different.
Yeah.
That can come from a sense of privilege or entitlement, and often does with, you know, with white people, frankly. You know, it's like we think these things are naturally ours. But it's also important to recognize that there are systems and structures that are in place that create injustice in the lives of other people. Mm-hmm. And so you can run into this moment where somebody takes something away from you, you feel entitled to, or you can run into it because you're human and there's just a block there of some structure. Mm-hmm. That's never going to let you live your fullest life because you happen to be, say, a woman of color or a person who doesn't fit into society in the way that, you know, is what is considered to be the right kind of way of living. And so those moments can come because someone takes something from you or there's a system that blocks you.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you know, there's a lot of different responses we can have as people. Is that we can kind of fall into the moment and just say, "Oh, everything's unfair," or mm-hmm. we can become deeply angry, and those are human feelings, and we should recognize them. Mm-hmm. But then we have to move beyond those, and that's when we get to say to ourselves, "What response do I choose in this moment?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can choose to have a life where you are going to say, do justice and make sure that those systems don't exist for the next generation of people.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can learn a new pathway, like is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
So not everybody's response in that moment is going to be exactly the same. But what I do think has to happen for our very best living is that we can take the negative emotions that emerge in moments of injustice, moments of fear, moments where we've felt like our path has been destroyed, and we can say, what is there here now? And how can I live in such a way that my gifts are lived out to their fullness and I can be a pathway of joy for others?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that it doesn't happen overnight, but it can happen. And so I talk about how that happens in my book. But I think that it's really important to recognize that gratitude, you know, I didn't sit there and say, oh, I'm so grateful for getting fired.
No.
Yeah. And sometimes I belong to a lot of churches, and sometimes Christians are really bad offenders at this, is that when something bad happens, someone in a church will almost always say to you, oh, you should be really grateful for that. Because it's good. And even the president of the college said, oh, one day you'll look back on this and you're going to be grateful you were fired.
Yeah.
What I make it really clear in the book that we have to be so careful never to be grateful for an injustice. We never are grateful for when violence is done to us. We're never grateful for something that creates victims.
Great point.
What the New Testament says, and I draw a lot out of the New Testament in this book in a very generous and open way so that anyone who's listening who's not religious can see these verses for their wisdom, not as you know, cudgels, which sometimes the Bible is used as.
Sure.
But there's a really important verse in the New Testament that lots of people who are in churches quote about gratitude. And that verse is, in everything, give thanks. And when I had heard that as a little girl, it was like, well, you know, something awful happens. Oh, give thanks for that. But that's not what it says.
No.
And I make it, I talk in the book about how the verse actually in Greek is in everything give thanks. Mm-hmm. And that little word at the beginning of the sentence, in, that we render in mm-hmm. English, in Greek is en. And that means through.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Greek, the verse actually means through all things give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And that is much more, that is a really powerful vision.
Well, you know, I'm glad that we're talking about this, being grateful for versus, okay, so Romans 8, one of my favorite verses in Romans 8, or I remember reading Romans 8 kind of like, oh, until I got to Romans 8, and that's when I woke up, and that's what resonated with me, which is through all things, that things work out for the good of all. And so sometimes, you know, in my processing, I think, okay, this may not seem like it's good right now, but if I believe in that promise that things work out for the good of all who love them, then that means that other people will benefit from, there's so much abundance. And right. So that means that included in the all will be me. And so being able to go back and saying, okay, I know that this is not good right now, and I don't feel very grateful for this right now, but I know this, that this will bless me, because a lot of people think that blessing has to do with good fortune.
Right.
And I want to rewrite that, because blessing is the gift that comes from all situations.
Right. And there, our attitudes about gratitude are wrapped up in scarcity and abundance.
Sure.
And the idea we've got in our brain that we live in a universe where gifts are scarce,
mm-hmm.
and that there are people who control those gifts, and we have to go to those people and ask for those gifts, or those people in their benevolence or their malevolence, depending upon who they are, have to give us those gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a lie.
It's true.
The gifts of the universe are everywhere, all the time, around us.
Yes.
And we actually live in a universe of abundance. If you believe in a God, every world religion teaches that God or the gods have created all the gifts that human beings will need for all of time to live in beauty and justice and love. And we don't live like that. We live as if the gifts are scarce, and people try to control the gifts. And I think that genuine gratitude takes us to that place of abundance, mm-hmm. and makes the scarcity look like what it is. It makes it look like a myth and a lie. And so if we can change the way we perceive the gifts of the universe, everyone who's trying to control the gifts of the universe, or systems and structures that try to control the gifts of the universe, they begin to lose their power over us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty remarkable what can happen. It's actually what David Stendhal Rast talks about, the great Catholic monk, that if you're grateful, you're not fearful. If you're not fearful, you're not violent. And that gratitude can take down powers, structures, scarcity, and replace them with abundance.
Absolutely. You know, and only when you're in the state of grace, are you able to see the blessing in everything and the abundance, and that we are abundant people. And thank you so much. And for those of you who would like to learn more, go to whenyouneedafriend.com, get a copy of the book, and I'll let you know if you won the book. Thank you, Diana, for being on the show. And please remember, this is Lola McDermott wishing you love, peace, joy, and unexpected abundance. Make it the best day ever. Good job.
The opinions and advice expressed on the Lillian McDermott radio show are intended for the individual callers and guests on the program and are presented to our wider audience solely for general educational purposes. Please act responsibly and consult personally with your own medical, psychological, or nutritional expert before taking any steps to improve your life.
FM 100 W262 AG Jacksonville AM 1600 WZNZ